Good morning, all. Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Rakedesh, is daf Ayin Chet, and we were still holding at the bottom of Ayin Zayin on the base at the question of the Chalala. How do we know that a Chalala is only from an Isser Kahuna, and that you do not become a Chalala just because a woman was nivellet to someone who is also, let's say, her own brother sleeps with her, she still wouldn't be a Chalala. She would only be a zonah. How do we know that? Amar Rava. So we're up to Amar Rava and Amar Beis. Mino hamilta de Amar Rabbana. Where does this come from? This idea that ein chalala elam yisr kuhuna. So in order to understand this Gemara, we need to recognize that we have two completely different sets of yisurim for kuhuna. One are the yisurim for a kohen hediot, and one are the yisurim for a kohen gadol. They are exactly the same, except, of course, for the fact that a Kohen Gadol is also usur to marry a woman who is not a betula. And that's a mitzvah taseh, who shall be betula al yikach. But there's a major difference in the presentation between the Kohen Hediot and the Kohen Gadol, the presentation of the Isurim. Because when it comes to Kohen Hediot, it specifically lists the Grusha separately from everyone else. So it says, Isha zona v'chalala lo yikochu. Okay, so that seems to be one iser lav. And then it says, Isha grusha me isha lo yikochu. Now, it could have been written by the Kohen Hediot in exactly the same way that it's written by the Kohen Gadol. Namely, almana ugrusha v'chalala zona et eila lo yikach. So what we want to do is understand, first of all, b'chalal, why do we need to repeat all of these surim? Since obviously every Kohen Gadol is also a Kohen Hediot and started as a Kohen Hediot and had all of these surim. So that's question one, which we'll ultimately get to. And then we have question number two, which is why is it that when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, we have everything listed as one, the Almanah Grusheva Chalala Zonah, and when it comes to a Kohen Hediot, we have two separate lavim, zonav chalala lo yikachu, isha grusha misha, lo yikachu, detanya. So based on that, we have the following analysis in the Braisa. Lo yomar grusha b'kohen gadol, v'teti mikav v'chomer b'kohen hediot. Do I really need to know a posek b'chlal about a grusha for a Kohen Gadol? Isn't it a kav v'chomer v'ana amina? If a Kohen Hediot is asura, so then the Kohen Gadol, me boy. So why did the Torah need to mention bichlal that a grusha is a surah? Doesn't make any sense. It's coming to tell me just as a chiddush about this one point, that in the same way that chalukah grusha mizonah v'chalala b'kohen hediot, ka chalukah b'kohen gadol. So in the same way that we have a separate posik, and that's to tell me that there is a separate iser, and therefore, there would be separate malkiyos. So let's say this grusha is a zonah also, or she's a chalala. There's a separate malkus on the grusha. This is supposed to be an answer to my question? My question was, if I know something by a Kohen Hediot, so then I obviously know it by a Kohen Gadol. So you're coming to tell me that it's coming to tell me something that I know. You didn't answer my question. Pshita, migra gara, I don't understand. He gets to be less, I would have thought, because now he has less Kedusha as a Kohen Gadol. Who took off the original Isser? He was originally a Kohen Hediot. We had two separate Isserim over there of Lo Yikachu, one for the Zonah and Chalala, and one for the Grusha. And now that he's a Kohen Gadol, now he doesn't have a separate Isser. It's absurd. So therefore, that can't be what was meant in the Braisa. What does the Braisa mean? Like Kishem Shechalukah Grusha Mizonah V'Chalala B'Kohen Hediot. Point over here is, remember, there is no iser of an almana at all on the Kohen Hediot. So now when the Torah adds this new iser only to the Kohen who became an actual Kohen Gadol, so then I need to know that the same din that we compare, because we only could compare what was relevant, obviously, to the Kohen Hediot. So the same din that we compared the Grusha and the Zonah and Chalala in terms of a Kohen Hediot as being separate Isurim, therefore we need to understand that we repeat the Pasuk by the Kohen Gadol, this time including the Almanah, to tell me that the Almanah is also considered to be learned out from the fact that it's repeated, that it has the same type of structure that the grusha would have had for a kohen hediot. In the same way that a grusha is separate, this new iser of a almana, which did not appear before, is also exactly the same, and it too is going to be a different lot. Okay, so now we understand why it said again the iser of grusha. So that was in order to compare the almana to the grusha, and to say that it's the same separate iser. But why did it repeat the iser chalala? Ah, the iser chalala was repeated in order that we should understand that the chalala is only in context of kahuna. So it would be either in context of a kohen gadol or in context of a kohen hediot, but by repeating it unnecessarily in the context of kahuna, it's coming to teach me that the very concept of a chalala is only a concept that comes into being in the context of kahuna. So that's basically where we know. In other words, we're going to do the whole brisa, but this is what directly addresses what Rava brought the brisa for. Rava said, how do we know chalala is only in the context of the kuna? This is how. Okay, but you haven't explained why the Torah needed to repeat the iser of zonah by the kohen gadol. So we understand the almana and the grusha. The almana is not repetitious. The grusha is repetitious to teach me the din of almana being a separate iser. The din of the repetition on the chalala, that's in order to tell me that chalala is a function of kahuna. But what about zonah? Why mention zonah again? Ah, that's coming to tell me that nemar kan zonah, v'nemar lahalan zonah. So we find that zonah is mechaber a din, the dinim that we find by kohen hediot, to the dinim that we find by kohen gadol. So just like when it comes to the kohen gadol, it says beferish velo yechalel zaro, and that's the end of that pasuk. Almana grusha chalala zona et ela lo yikach velo yechalel zaro b'amav. Oh, so that means that there is a chalalut that happens from this type of relationship. So there, by where it doesn't say anything like that by the kohen hediot, there it's also true. And aflalan zaro chulin. So therefore, the Torah is saying this in order to give all the dinim of the Kuna Gedela in terms of the Zisurian, also to the Kohen Hedit. Omer Ravashi, so look, here's a fascinating consequence of that halacha. Let's say that a Kohen, a regular Kohen, or a Kohen Gadol, it doesn't make any difference, actually sleeps with his own sister. So what is the din of that sister? So she now becomes a zonah, right? So now, but he does not make her chalala, because a sister has nothing to do with kahuna. A sister is a normal iser erva. But he doesn't make her a chalala. Now, if he himself, or any kohen for that matter, sleeps with her again, now she becomes a chalala. Why? Because the second time that he slept with her as a zonah, or that another kohen had slept with her, it was as a zonah. And because of that, he turns her into a chalala. That's what comes out from the discussion that Rava just explained to us. Omer Rav Yehuda. So now, let's analyze this. A Kohen Gadol, who would actually give Kiddushin to an Almona. This, of course, is true about anything, because we just said that we learned the Kohen Hedit from the Kohen Gadol. But we learn it out. We're going to talk about the Kohen Gadol, but it's exactly the same. What we want to know is, since the Torah keeps talking about lo yikach or lo yikach, and that is the giving of kedushin, is there an iser on the giving kedushin alone without ever being an intercourse that comes from that kedushin? Or is there a separate iser on the intercourse if there is an iser of kedushin? Or would there be an iser on intercourse without kedushin? That's the issues that we want to raise now. So Omer Rav Yehuda, let's say that a Kohen Gadol gives Kiddushin to one of the Isurim, and then he also sleeps with her. Then he would get two different Malkios. One because of Lo Yikach. And Lo Yikach is just to do the act of Kiddushin. It has nothing to do with actual relationship. And then the other one, of course, is since it says Lo Yechalel, and we understood from Lo Yechalel that he is going to be Mechalel her, so that too would be an Isser. Don't do that act of intercourse, which is Mechalel. But wait a minute. We've got another issue here, do we not? Lil Kenami Mishum Lo Yechalel Zaro. Now, this is a fascinating question, which in the end, most of the Rishonim hold the Gemara doesn't stick with at all. And that is that we assume right now that when it says Lo Yechalel Zaro, it's actually referring to his sperm and not to his children. So that in the event that there were no children, nonetheless, would he not be Mechalel his Zera? It says Lo Yechalel Zaro. So basically, instead of talking about the issue of whether he impregnated her, what we have to talk about is whether he inseminated her. This is a completely new way of looking at this, right? Answers the Gemara, and this is the only reason why the Gemara is doicha this at this point, he never ejaculated. B'shelo gamar b'yato. So, in other words, he gave her kedushin, he penetrated her, but he didn't inseminate her. But ena chinami. If there would have, in addition to the two isurim of lo yikach and lo yichalel, there would have also been a lo yichalel zaro, the mashma of this Gemara, that he indeed would have had an additional isur. Okay. In the end, as I say, the Rambam paskins, clearly there is no additional isur, and that's because of the diak from the Gemara later on, according to the Mefarshim. Now, this is Rav Yehuda's Chiddush, namely, that there are two completely different Isurim, one of which is the Lo Yikach per se, and the other one of which is the Lo Yechalel. But the problem is, says Rava, how, Rav Yehuda, are you going to explain the Mishnah in Makos? The Mishnah says, Almana uGrusha. So let's say that a Kohen takes both an Almana and a Grusha, he would be Loka Mishum Shnei Shemas. He would get Malkus for those two reasons, Almana and a Grusha as a Kohen Gadol. I mean, that's all. Doesn't say four. You say he would get four Malkios, and over here it's saying he would only get because of the Shnei Shemais. Excuse me. Shnei Shemais means Shnei Shemais in terms of the two Isurim that I just mentioned, the Almana and Grusha. But each one of those has two different Lavim. One is the Lo Yikach, and one is the Lo Yechalel. And therefore, it's Shnei Shemot Alzeh, v'Shnei Shemot Alzeh, the Lo Yikach, Lo Yechalel, twice. Excuse me, but that's not a very good answer, because if you keep reading the Mishnah, you'll see that that's not the case. Because take a look at the end of the Mishnah. Yochi Emesefa. What about if he takes a woman who is both a Grusha and a Chalutza? So then he's only Chayev, once. That means to say that for both of these, he would only be chayev once. And you, Rav Yehuda, said that you're chayev twice. No, that's not what it means. Obviously, the point over here is that the chalutza is only a drabona. Therefore, it doesn't come into the discussion. That's what the Mishnah is trying to bring out. So if you talk about a grusha and an almana, or a zonah, whatever. There you would have two shemot. But if you have a grusha v'chalutza, there's only one thing to be chayev on. Fine. But what are you chayev on that one thing? You're chayev both on the lo yikach and on the lo yechalel, like we said before. Why don't see why you think that the Mishnah is saying anything else? But liolam, shnei shemot, for the both of the kicha and for the bia. Hold on a sec. You're saying a chalutza is only nisi d'rabona? But doesn't the price say b'feirish? Grusha. When the Torah said, Grusha lo yikach, ein li ela grusha, how do I know a chalutza is also concluded? Talmud lomar, ve'isha grusha me'isha lo yikach. What is the vav? That's to add the chalutza. So what's the point, I mean, I'm assuming that we're talking about women over here and not animals. I mean, what do you have to say, Isha? The point is that Veisha is telling me a chalutza min yoraisa. No, you're right that it sounds like that, but the truth is it's an esmachta. The pasuk is a drabonon, Yisra is a drabonon, the Pasuk is as Machta B'Yam. All right, so let's get back to Rav Yehuda Shita. Rav Yehuda holds that you would be chayev two separate malkias. But when did he say that you're chayev two separate malkias? If you were lokach and you were a baha. That's what he said. But Abaya says, no, you don't need to do both. Let's say you just did kiddush and you never, ever were baha. So if he's kiddush, he's lokach just on the kiddushin. If he was Baal, then he also gets malchus for the Bia, and that is just for the Bia. He doesn't need to have done a Maisa Lekuchin before to try to be Mekadesher. Kiddush, that's the Pasuk. If he just did a kiddushin, so then wasn't he over on Lo Yikach? Lo Yikach says don't be Lokeach. Lokeach is a Kinyan. Has nothing to do with sleeping with her. And then if he subsequently is Baal, so then he would be over on Lo Yechalel, because that is what is Mechalel her, the act of Bia. Rava Amar, no, it's not true. If he did Likuch, I agree with you that the Likuchin is an Isser, but only in the context of it's leading to an ultimate Bia. So if he was Baal, so then he would be loke for both. But lo ba'al, he is not loke. Why? Mishum dechtiv lo yikach v'lo yichalel. Ma tam lo yikach, mishum lo yichalel. So in other words, the whole point of alikuchin is always in the end, as we said at the beginning of the Masechet, that all of these likuchin is l'tzorech bia. That's the point. So if there's no Bia in the end, so then obviously it's not in that context that the Torah said, Lo Yikach. So therefore, I say, there's no such thing without a Bia as giving him Malkus. So let's just clarify. Is that true of every case where the Torah says that Likuchin is Usser, that Abaya would hold Likuchin alone is Usser, and Rava would hold that no, it's only if you actually Baal? Well, actually, no. Because Abaya agrees in one case that the Torah is beferish saying that only a lekuchin that leads to Bia is considered to be the Isser. Where is that? By Machzir Grushato. Because listen to the language of a Machzir Grushato. Lo yuchal ba'ala harishon asher shilcha lo shuv. Now listen to the way that it says it. So it says, Beferish, he is not allowed to go back, make a kinyan on her to make her his wife. Now, what does he have to say, Lioto Liisha? Obviously, that is saying that it's specifically in terms of the sexual relationship with the wife. Since he didn't do that, it's not Lekachta Lioto Liisha. It's just an act of a kinyan. There, I agree with you that you're not going to get Malkus just because you made a kinyan. And Rava also does not say that every single time that we have an Isser of Likuchin and Bia, that there's no separate Isser on the Likuchin, and that there's no din on getting Malkus without Likuchin. Because Moida Rava, if a Kohen Gadol or any of these Reikunah, he goes ahead and he's Baal without Likuchin. I did not mean to imply that then you wouldn't get Malkus at all. I made it that if he did the Bia without a Likuchin, that there for sure you would be Chayef. Why? Because the Lo Yechalel Zaro Ba'amav Amar Rachman, the Torah didn't put the Chilel in the context of the Likicha at all. It did it the other way around. He did do the Chilel of Zaro Ba'amav, did he not? So therefore, even though the Isra of Likuchin is linked directly to the Bia, but over here it says Beferish, there's a separate Isra of Chilel, and Chilel obviously is not affected by the original Likuchin. Okay, so then that means that there is definitely a case where you can have two separate Malkias. And there's a case where you can have a Malkus just for the Bia. Now, there also is a case, interestingly, that they agree that where there is a Bia without Likuchin, that there is no chiyuv. And where is that? Shneim odim b'marzik rushato she'imbav v'lo kidesh she'ein olokim. Because the Torah specifically did not make this a sexual iser. It made it into a relationship iser, because it says beferish in the pasuk, remember, lo yuchal ba'ala rishon lashuv lakachta li'isha lakachta li'yot lo li'isha. So that means lakachta li'yot lo li'isha. The only iser is in terms of remarrying her. There's no iser just to sleep with her. And that is the whole point of the pasuk putting it this way. So again, we have the full gamut here. Cases where you're only chayev on nikuchin if there was bia. Cases where, according to Abai, you would be chayev on the likuchin even without a bia. Cases where you're chayev on the bia without likuchin. And cases where you're not chayev on the bia without, or a case at least, where you're not chayev on the bia without likuchin. Okay, so this now covers the various cases that have to do with these Isurei Kuhuna. Let's get back to the Mishnah that talks about the creation of the Isurei Kuhuna and what the din is of the bat halal we spoke about. Now, Rabbi Yehuda raises the question of a bat ger zachar. So Rabbi Yehuda said that a bat ger zachar has the same din as a halal, which was shocking. Where does he get that from? Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda omer, bat ger zachar ki bat halal zachar. And I say that it is simply a rational understanding, because hadin noten. I mean, isn't the point that if a halal, why would a halal create a psul for a daughter? Because if the halal himself, and he comes from a tipak shera, the sperm that gave birth to him, is not a psul yichus at all, right? He is, part of shifteka with the yud and the hay, and he's totally miyuchas. And nonetheless, we say that his daughter is asura to a kohen. So again, that we learned out, remember, from Zaro, that the Teres Makish, the Zera of the Kohen to him. Okay, so that taught us that even 10 generations later, when we have the first daughter, that daughter is going to be psula to a Kohen. Now, a Ger, who actually is Bamitipa psula, because he does not have, in terms of his father, does not have any of that Yichus. So, for sure, his daughter should be psula. And obviously, the argument is that what is logical about that? It's totally illogical. The point of a halal creating a problem is because the halal was actually created through an iser, right? Because the whole point of being a halal is because the father had slept with a woman that was usher to him, and therefore the child is affected. So if he was created through an avera, so then his daughter is possible. We learn out from the pasuk. But how the heck does that have anything to do with a ger? A ger wasn't in any way born, so to speak, in sin, was he? No. So why would you think that his daughter would be affected vis-a-vis the kohen? Well, now, wait a minute. That doesn't prove anything, because a kohen gadol who sleeps with an almana, what happens over there? Ein yetzirato bi'avera. The kohen, he didn't have any, he wasn't created in sin, was he? And nonetheless, it says, Beferish lo yechal el zaro. So his daughter is pasul to a kohen. So you see that the question of whether the father comes from some element of born in sin is not the issue. Because over here, we see that you create a psul without anything like that. Yeah, but obviously, but I mean, over there, the actual intercourse was that created this daughter was an avera, right? So Malako and Golo Balmana, she can be a toba avera. Now, obviously, the ger who marries the kohen, what are we going to say? Or marries whoever he would marry in the event that there was no iser. Why would his daughter, even the Yisrael, why would his daughter be also to a kohen? He wasn't born in sin. He didn't create the child by doing an Avera. So you have neither of the issues, and therefore it's completely illogical. Well, no, wait a minute. The halal, over there we see that even though the halal didn't do an Isser marrying someone who was mutter to him, he's allowed to marry a Kohenet, he's a married to Yisrael, so he did not do an act of an Avera, and nonetheless his daughter is Isser. So you see, so what we're doing now is a classic Mahatzad, right? In other words, if I try to learn it out from the halal, so the halal was created out of an Avera. So then I'll say, okay, but certainly that's not the case of the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, but over there, he did an Avera. Okay, but the halal didn't do an Avera. All right, so now we're in a classic Mahatzad. Chozer Hadin. Chozer Hadin means we keep going around in circles. So, therefore, Lo Rizeh Chazar Hadin. We keep going in circles. Lo Rizeh Rizeh. Lo Rizeh Rizeh. So let's take a look. What is the common denominator between the halal and the Kohen Gadol? Well, Hatzada Shava Shebehen, She'inan Berov HaKahal. Basically, what we're talking about over here is, now as Rashi said at the beginning of the sugya, we don't have to accept this argument because this argument is an extension of the concept of a common denominator. Normally, the common denominator has to be something that is similar specifically to these two cases. When we talk about very broad similarities, that, or even the similarity which is called there's something unique about the Chumrah, that obviously is not a standard common denominator. Okay, so what we're saying over here, the common denominator is that they're just, each one of them is not common to everyone, right? So in other words, one of them was created with an Avera, one of them did an Avera. So the same thing is true about a Ger. It's true that a Ger has nothing to do with Avera, but nonetheless, he's not like everyone else in the sense that he came from a father who was Osir to marry a Bas Yisrael. So he's not Barov Kahal. So therefore, I should say, Bito Psula. Says the Gemara, that's a cheap argument. I mean, you can easily say that the Tzad HaShava Shebehem has nothing to do with being Rov Kahal. The Tzad HaShava Shebehem is that they were both involved in the context of Avera. One of them is created through Avera, meaning the Halal, and one of them did an Avera in order to create the child, which is the Kohen Gadol Baal Mana. But what does that have to do with a Ger? A Ger has nothing to do with Avera at all. So how can you say that therefore we should apply a din where the Tzad HaShava is very clear and it does not apply to the Ger? Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the original point, right? So what we did was we made a Kal Vachomer. We said, well, it's a Kal Vachomer, a Halal, because it comes from a Tipa Kshera, right? All right. So we said no, because after all, he was born in sin. So we said, okay, Kohen Gadol Yochiyah. Then we said, well, you can't use Kohen Gadol because the Kohen Gadol does a sin. Okay. Let's substitute. Instead of saying Kohen Gadol Yochiyah, which you're right, we ended up with a Tzad HaShava. The Tzad HaShava was, they're both involved on some level in sin. Fine. I'll take another case. All right. Don't say in the original argument, Kohen Gadol Ba'amana Yochiyah. What you should say is, the case of a Mitzri Rishon Yochiyah. So let me ask you something. A Mitzri Rishon, was he born in sin? No. Did he do a sin in having a daughter? No. Is his daughter a Mitzri Sheni and therefore Asura? Yes. Ha! So you see that born in sin, doing a sin, has nothing to do with Isurim, and you can be Usur because of the fact that you're not Barov Kahal. No, excuse me. We've been talking about these Isurei Kahuna. Now you're bringing me the case of a Mitzri Rishon who was Bechalal not even allowed to marry a Jew. I mean, that's crazy. Maybe that would mean that the reason that the daughter is Usher is because she's nothing to do with this. It has to do with the fact that she's Asura Nikal. I don't understand what you're bringing a raya. And therefore, the daughter of a ger, who is completely kosher, should be Asura to a what are you saying? Well, now wait a minute. How about a chalal? A chalal is certainly allowed to marry any Jew, right? And nonetheless, his daughter is Asura. Okay, so you're going to say, okay, but, you know, that's because of the fact that he was conceived in sin. Yes, but here, well, I'll bring you a riot from the case of the Mitzri Rishon. And again, so we'll now be Chazratim. We're going around in circles. Lori Zekri Zeh, Lori Zekri Zeh. What's the Tzad HaShava Shabam? Like I said before, Eino Barov Kahal. You can't tell me that Tzad HaShava is sin, because it isn't. This time I got you. So Eino Barov Kahal and Bito Psula. Afani Aviyat Hager. He's just not like everybody else because he's Bami Tipa Psula. Therefore, Bito should be Psula. No, absolutely not. There's another Tzad HaShava Shabam. Because either of these cases, a halal who sleeps over here in with the kahuna creates halalut, and we have also psulim bibiatam, because even if we have either a mitzri, obviously, if someone has bia with a mitzri that is also to be baba kahal, so then that woman herself becomes Asura to the kahuna. So the same thing would be true over here. Anybody, we said, who sleeps with the halal becomes Asura to the kahuna, and they are poso bibiyasam. But what does that have to do with a regular ger? Who, obviously, a regular ger doesn't pass a woman bibiyasai. What in the heck? So why would we think that the daughter is paso? Ah, but that's Rabbi Yehuda, remember? Rabbi Yehuda holds that a ger is poso bibioto to the kuhuna. And he actually is learning it from this Galvachomer itself. That if a halal, who is a tipa kishera, creates an isra halalut by sleeping with a woman, then it's obviously somebody who comes not from a tipa kshera should be for sure asr. And we go through the whole argument, and this is what Rabbi Yehuda holds about that as well. So for him, it's consistent. Now, we know that obviously this is not everybody's shita, because there were three different shitas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, that actually, if a ger married directly, forget about 10th generation. He married directly a Bas Yisro. There's no problem. His daughter is kosher for kahuna. The only time that we say that is not kosher kahuna is where you have both of them being a ger. So if a ger marries a giyoret, then we had that special halakha that we learned out from the Mibes Yisro, which we're going to be discussing soon. There we had this new shita. And then we had a third shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, nonsense. Even if a ger is married to a giyoret, their child is perfectly okay to marry a kohen. And we know from before, but in the Braisa it makes it very clear, you didn't mention the fourth shita. Who's the fourth shita? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says that the only time that we have a problem with a giyoret is where she was more than 3 years old. So then we have an issue whether she is assumed, since she comes from Goyim, so we have to assume that she's been having relations, but if she's less than 3 years old, then it wouldn't make any difference, because remember that she does not have any genitals. And if that's the case, so how can we call her a zona without genitals? It's absurd. And therefore, it says, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, if the giyoret is less than 3 years old when she became a giyoret, then she herself is kshera lekahuna. This is a whole new shita, obviously very different from what we said according to Rabbi Eliezer. And where does it say that? Because it says, v'chol hataf binashim, that are actually not shayach to sleeping with someone. So there it says, those are the ones that you should take for yourself, right? So that's what we're referring to over there, where it says, Asher lo yadu mishkav zachar. How are we supposed to know yadu mishkav zachar? The idea of lo yadu mishkav zachar is that take for yourself, achad yulach, I mean, you can marry them. Maybe that means not a Kohen? No, because it's talking about Melchemes Midian. Last I heard, Pinchas was a pretty big Kohen. And it's talking about Ach Yulachem, it's talking to Pinchas. So, obviously, this girl is allowed to be taken by Pinchas. Okay, QED. Hey, wow, that's a it's a pretty good raya. So, how can anybody argue on that Beferish Apostle? V'Rabbanan. They say, Ach Yulachem. Where does it say to have sex with her? It says Achayulacha. Maybe Achayulacha means she should work for you, you know? Lavadim ulishvachot. That's all. Okay. Now, the bottom line is we've got four different shitas. All of those shitas have to explain in the context of the very strange pasuk in Yechezkel, which is, whoa. So what does it say over there? The almana ugrusha lo yikulahem lenashim. Almana v'grusha. Now, who's that talking to? I mean, the only Kohen I know that is not allowed to take an almana, last I heard, was a Kohen Gadol. And then it says, ki'im betulot mizera beit Yisrael. Right, okay, exactly. That's what I thought. That a Kohen Gadol has to marry a betula. But then it says the craziest thing. Ha'almana asher tiyeh almana mikohen. If the almana, sounds like it's saying, if the almana was married to a Kohen who died, then yikachu, which is absolutely crazy. There's no difference between the almana being married to a Kohen and the almana being married to Yisrael. So the whole thing is weird. And then what does it mean when it says, bitulot mizera beit Yisrael? Like, what are you adding with mizera beit Yisrael? I don't understand. Did we think we're talking about marrying Goyim, that the Kohen Gadol should take a bitula, you know, who's a nice, a beautiful French lady. I mean, what kind of weird pasuk is this? So Reb Yehuda says, look, what this means is that a Kohen, and he is not talking about a Kohen Gadol, obviously, because it says you can marry a Kohen who comes from, an Almana who comes from a Kohen. So the meaning of the words Bizera Beit Yisrael is to add that you need to have Kol Zera Yisrael. So Kol Zera means that the kol zera doesn't literally mean kol zera. It means the main zera. Main zera we're talking about is the zera of the male. And therefore, it's telling us that if she actually comes from a ger, it's not zera mi Yisrael, she's asura. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Savar, no, it doesn't say the kol zera, it says mi zera, even miktas zera. So that means all of the genetic material that creates this child, that made her, then and only then is she allowed to marry a Kohen. But that would mean that as long as we've got some of that Zera, okay, so let's say the mother is a Yisraelit and the father is a Ger, that's fine, because we've got Kol Zera, some of that Zera, Filu Mikta Zera. Rabbi Yossi Savar, it does not refer to genetic material. It refers to the actual seeding of that genetic material. So, Misha Nizra'u B'Yisrael. So, as long as both of the parents were Gerim, so then she was seeded, so to speak. So, she was conceived. That's the Pshat, Zera Yisrael. It's not referring to genetic material. It's referring to the spreading of the genetic material. So when was that? Yisrael, they had already converted. Fine. So then even if both parents were Gerim, she can actually be a Ruya to a Kohen. Whereas Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says, Misha Nizru Bitulea B'Yisrael. That's why it says the Bitula Mizera Beit Yisrael, which means that she had created a Bitulim while she was in Yisrael. That's what it's referring to, because until this time, when she was less than 3 years old, is she a virgin? No, not according to the Torah. How could she be a virgin if she doesn't have genitals? So you can only be a virgin if you have genitals that were not penetrated. But she didn't have genitals. So therefore, the creation of her state of virginity, betulot, is only possible once she was over three, and at that point, she was already a Yisraeli. That's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's shita. So in that case, as long as she became a betula while she was a bas Yisrael, she is allowed to marry a kohen. So all four of those shitas actually can read the pasuk. Omer le Rav Nachman le Rava. The pasuk is insane, though. I mean, forget about how you read the last couple of words. I mean, look at the pasuk. It starts talking about a kohen gadol, right? Because it's clearly saying you have to marry a betula and almana lo yikachu. I mean, that's only true about a kohen gadol. And then in the end, it's obviously not talking about a kohen gadol because a kohen gadol can't marry any kind of almana. So when it says almana shati almana mi kohen yikachu, which is talking about a kohen hedyot, and it's just saying what is required for the woman to be kosher for a kohen hedyot, how do you understand the pasuk? Reisha b'kohen gadol v'sef b'kohen hedyot. Says Reb Nachman, yeah, what's your big problem? And yes, so what? Said Reb Nachman. There's psukim that are written like that, that are talking about two completely different subjects. They don't even give you a hint that we changed in mid-sentence. We changed who we're referring to. Sounds crazy to me. What do you want me to bring you examples, says Rava? Absolutely, there are psukim like that. In Dichtiv, look, take a look at this. Ner Elohim terem yichbeh, v'shmul shochev be'echal Hashem. Now, is this supposed to literally mean what it says? That the menorah had not gone out, or the way we were derish it, Eli had not died, and Shmuel was sleeping in the Heichal. How could Shmuel be sleeping in the Heichal? That's ridiculous. Although in Yeshiva Bazar Lamelcha Biz David Bavad, he can't possibly be sleeping there. The only person that's allowed to even sit down in the Chatzar is Davka, only Melochim who come from Beis David. Because it says, Vayavo HaMelech David, Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem. From there we learn that there was a special halacha that was given to him at that moment that he was told about his becoming the melech forever and so on and so forth, where he walks in to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says he sat down. So what does it mean? Obviously, the way to read the pasuk is that there's a change of topic in the middle. Ner Elohim terem yichbe. Okay, where was that? That was in the Heichal Hashem. Ushmuel Shochev, not in the Heichal Hashem. Shmuel Shochev, wherever he was Shochev, I don't know where he was. So you see that the placement of the meaning of a word does not follow necessarily from one part of the pasuk to the other part of the pasuk. Okay, so explain to me what this means. An almana, that is an almana from a kohen, that you're allowed to marry to a kohen hedyot. But he's not allowed to marry a Yisrael? That's not true. There's no din of almana at all. I don't care whether she's an almana of a kohen or she's an almana of a Yisrael. How do you explain that part of the pasuk? No, okay, comma. What it's saying is, almana asher tiyeh almana, mi kohen yikachu, meaning that all kohanim other than the one we've been talking about, who is the kohen gadol, so mi kohen, the other types of kohanim, that they're allowed to take. It doesn't. You're reading it wrong. It's not almana who is the almana of a kohen. It's an almana asher tiyeh almana can be taken mishar kohanim. And in fact, there's a brayta that says that that's how to read it. Tanya nami achi, misha'ar, mikohen yikachu, misha'ar kohanim yikachu. It's a reference to the other kohanim. But of course, what this does is it messes up Rava, no? Because Rava was bringing a right from the pasuk. The pasuk never told you that it's changing the reference. And over here it is clearly telling you, right? Mikohanim means me am other kohanim. So, okay, we leave that question. Reb Yehuda, he says, no, that's not what it means. When it says that a almana of an almana, it means an almana, I'm out of a coin, it means an almana of somebody who is miyakohanim, meaning he's allowed to marry his daughter to a kohen. That yikachu, masha ein kein, if it's an almana of a ger, a libet Reb Yehuda's own shita, since he can't give his daughter to a kohen, according to Reb Yehuda's own shita, so the almana of a ger is asura to a kohen. And this is all Reb Yehuda l'shitasa. because as Rabbi Yehuda said, Bat Ger Zachar Ki Bat Chalal Zachar, and we have the general rule, Kol Sha'ata Nosei Bito, Ata Nosei Amanato. A Kohen who can marry the daughter can marry the woman when she is now an Amana who gave birth to that daughter. But if he wouldn't be able to marry the daughter, then he can't marry the Amana who would have given birth to such a daughter. Then he Ata Nosei Amanato. So this is perfectly consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Ger Shenosa Gioret, Bito Batulakoin. So there's no need for either of them to be a Mekor, to be Jewish in the Mekor. Omar Rav Hamnuna Mishmei De'ula, that's the halacha. It has nothing to do with the Yisurei Kahuna and halachic Rav Yossi, that even both parents being Gerim are able to have a child who marries a Kohen. V'chein Omar Rav Barachana, Halachak Reb Yossi. However, the problem is that this is all true only in terms of the halacha. But after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so then the whole status of Kohanim went downhill. Because like this, everybody sees the Kohanim doing the Aveda, the Hashivas of the Kohanim. So because of that, the Kohanim after the Churban started being very makbid on their covet and status. That's why we found, remember when we were talking about in the Mishnah, the Ksuvas, the B'nai's Kayanim, that they would take so much money for the Ksuva and so on. So here too, after the Churban, Beis HaMikdash, they were knowing a silsul. Silsul batzman means to pretty yourself up, right? Ad matay ata misalsel b'sarecha. Salselcha v'tura memembcha. Fine, so that's the idea of the Kohanim. And they started acting like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, if both parents are Gerim, so then you don't marry the daughter. Omer Reb Nachman, you should know that Reb Huna said to me, if a Kohen comes to ask you what the din is, am I allowed to get married to the daughter of these Gerim, both of them are Gerim? Tell him, halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why? Because of that silsa. Don't marry her. But if he had already married her, and he asks, I just heard I wasn't supposed to marry her, am I supposed to divorce her? No, tell him not to divorce her. Because l'maisa d'halacha is Rabbi Yossi, and therefore this is only a silsul, certainly not mechayev to actually get divorced. Which brings us to, oh, Sir Richard. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. This is what happened when Zoom doesn't put Doc on top of Richie. Oh, man. I don't know what's in that stuff that you inject him with, Doc, but it sure makes a big difference, let me tell you.
This is what happens when I miss Bashir.
I know. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what to do with you guys, but all right. Hopefully it won't happen. Listen, in 3 decades, I don't care if I was in the middle of sitting Shiva, if I was in a hospital bed, whatever the situation was, I never missed the Daf Yomi until you idiots don't give me a time to give the Daf Yomi. And it's beyond belief. For this, I need to be Mevatel the Daf Yomi. Sickos. Anyway, getting back to the mission. Ha'emer b'nize mamzer. So somebody comes along. We had this discussion before. What's the din of the nemanus of the father? He is not believed to say his father, his child is a mamzer. And the truth is that even if both a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, agree that, I know he didn't get me pregnant, so this child is from one of my lovers, they wouldn't believe him. In him, their money. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, in both of these cases, we do believe, it turns out that the father is believed based on the pusik. This is not both of them are believed. Okay. So what we said is, even if both the mother and the father say about a fetus that it's a mamzer, what is added by saying even if both of them? I understand a father is not believed. The reason he's not believed is because he's posophoretus. So, obviously the woman is also posophoretus, no? No, actually, it's a lomi boy. It's saying that there is the chiddush, that not only Ihu. The father, I would say, the father is not believed, because what does he know? He says it's a mamzer. He doesn't really know it's a mamzer. He's just assuming that he doesn't think that he got her pregnant. But even she can be sure that this child is a mamzer. She knows who she's been sleeping with. Also, she is not believed because we don't have real edus over here. Furthermore, there's even another chiddush that not only in a case where echad yisrael cheskas kashrus, where this child was born already, and at the time that it was born, we didn't have a chashash, there was a mamzer, which means that we now have a chazaka like on anybody else. So they are not believed to go against the cheskas kashrus. But even in a case we're talking about a uber, so we just have a fetus, which was never born, and therefore there was no cheskas kashrus, it had to be defined up yalocha, even there they can't say it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, we do believe the father. Why? Kidatanya, and we had this before, since the Torah says it's habachor ben hasnua, yakir. So yakir means he can be makirenu lacherim. Mikan amar Rabbi Yehuda, ne'eman adam lomar zebni b'chor, and kishem sh'ne'eman adam lomar zebni b'chor, kach ne'eman adam lomar zeb ben grusha v'zeb ben chalutza. And remember that we said that the basis of this, first Tosfos suggested on his own that if he is saying Zebni Bechori and the child has older siblings, how can he say Zebni Bechori unless he's believed to say that the older siblings are not his own, right? In which case he's making the Mamzerim, which would mean that the Torah is believing him to make the Mamzerim. But then Tosfos said earlier, when we had this sugya, that from the Yerushalmi it's clear that it's the meaning of the Pasuk which says that hasnu'a means snu'a b'nisu'eha. And therefore, in the context of an iser of nisu'eha, that explains the reference to the kuhuna over here, that she was married and wasn't supposed to be married, that over there, even though it's snu'a, he can be makir. So if in that case he can be makir, then he's obviously saying that it's a ben gerusha, ben chalutza. Masha enkein, the chachomim say, no, he's not nema. I understand. I mean, there's a pasuk. I get Rav Yehuda. It says in a pasuk Yakir, which is Yakir and Alachirim. How did Rabbanan understand Yakir? I mean, what do you mean? I don't need a pasuk to tell me who the Bechor is. We have assumptions of the Bechor. No, it's talking about what we don't. We're talking about a case, Betzara Chakera. There are cases where we have no way of knowing. So let's say both parents were away. They went away to Timbuktu for a couple of years. Now they come back with these kids. And he's saying, this is my older kids. We never saw them before. So there, he's believed. Believed for what? Believed that he's a Bechor and he gets Pishnayim? Why do we need a Pasuk for that? Pshita, lama likra. If the father wants to give him Pishnayim, he can give him Pishnayim right now. So anything that is biyadai to give, why would he not be believed? So lama likra. Could give it to him as a gift in his lifetime. Couldn't he give it to him? So why can't he say that he's my Bechor? No, because we're talking about, you're 100% right about those things. But how about where there are nechasim that only came into the father's rishus after he said, this is my Bechor? And at the time of the Yakir, this property didn't exist. And he wouldn't have been able to give it to him. That's why we need the pasuk. Yeah, but what about according to Rabbi Meir? Remember that Rabbi Meir holds that a person can be makne even something that doesn't exist. So according to Rabbi Meir, what do I need the pasuk of Yakir? He's talking about Shenof the Lokish Uhugo says, actually, the father inherited this property in the last minute of his life while he's on his deathbed, almost dead. There's no possible way for him to give a gift in that condition. This is the way that the Tosfos understands it, that he couldn't have done it because of the problem of the logistics. He's not able to talk, he's not able to think, and therefore he couldn't give it to him. And Rashi, Beferish, other Rishonim, but it's Mashman Rashi, that you cannot act lahalacha in a state of gozesut. Okay, this is a big machlokas, but the bottom line is, why don't we simply say that the property falls to the father after the death of the father? The answer is simple. A Bechor never gets a double chelek in something that falls afterwards. because it says the kol asher yimotze lo. It has to be in the rishus of the father at the time of his death in order for there to be a din of pishnayim b'kol asher yimotze lo. So we're trying to find a case where the father would have been incapable of giving it to him, and therefore the yakir wouldn't have applied even alibi to Rebbe Meir, and that would be the case, because even alibi to Rebbe Meir, you can't give a gift b'shas gisisa. Rabosai, that brings us up to date. And we look forward to a zechus to be together tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, to begin the next Mishnah. And I want to just reassure you, don't get depressed. Remember that, yes, remember the dapim in Baba Kama are much shorter dapim. So hopefully we won't get into these, I call these mega dapim, you know. So they do take till the very last minute. I just wanted to reassure Doc. Don't worry, Doc. Those patients will not be waiting too long. Just make sure you give them all a Maseches Baba Kama to look at while they're waiting. All right. So for those of you who are unable to continue to attend for the Yerushalmi, let me leave you with our bracha, which we say every day. Yeshias Amecha Uvarech Etznach Alasecha Or Eim Vinas Eim Ad Olam. As that day gets closer and closer, our tefillahs get more and more desperate and powerful.